Every point on the map has a purpose, and every road that takes you there leads you away. Every point on the map was put there by dreamers, and dreamers still have something to say. Every point on the map has a story to tell, and sometimes there are dreams that come true. Some folks are still dreaming, some always will. Which point on the map points to you? Which point on the map points to you?
Hello, and welcome to our first Every Point on the Map podcast. I'm Kelly Roberts. For those of you who aren't familiar with our work, Every Point is a project to document a meaningful conversation with one person or group in every Oklahoma town or city over the next 10 years. You can follow our project at reddirtchronicles.com or follow our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook accounts, all entitled Every Point OK. The beautiful photographs you see in our posts were taken by co-creator Rachel Apple. We recently held a 10% show at Elemental Coffee in Oklahoma City to celebrate the completion of 10% of our work. Some of her large format portraits were featured at that show, and we had the good fortune to gift back one of the portraits to the family of Max Walk, a farmer we spoke with from Payne, Oklahoma, who recently passed away. Another participant, Duffy Martin, has passed away since we interviewed him as well, and we feel fortunate to have archived some of their thoughts and images in our posts. Today's podcast features a man we met drinking coffee on his porch one Sunday morning named Ray Newton. Ray starts his story by sharing how it was that he decided to enter the Air Force and how he fought in the 1968 Tet Offensive. Most of his narrative, however, centers around his history with racism in Oklahoma and how he has reconciled what he experienced with what he now knows. The remainder of this podcast is comprised of almost our complete discussion with Ray, edited only for wind noises or non-relevant banter. As you listen, we hope you can picture yourself sitting on Ray's porch with us and enjoying his morning chat.
Well, I was born in Caldwell, so I was about 4 years old, and my dad and my mother moved to Oklahoma, Paul's Valley. And went to high school in Wynnewood, Oklahoma, and graduated. So I wanted to go to college, but it was not possible financially because we had Langston. So my brother had joined the Air Force. He spent, I think, 6 years. But when he came home, he was telling me about the Air Force. I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. So I joined and went to Lackland and San Antonio for boot camp. And in Laredo, Texas. In other words, I got to got to travel and see a lot of things that I'd only been told about or read about. Yeah. And found out the difference. And there's a world of difference in what you are told, what you see, and what it's really all about.
What do you remember being one of the big differences that just resonated with you? When you think back, you're like, wow, this is such a different experience. What comes to your mind?
Racism was the biggest one. And then in the Air Force, we had people from Japan, the Philippines, but they were all American citizens, and they got in the Air Force, too. And you learn, especially in Thailand, if you got a friend in Thailand and you show them respect, they'll respect you. But they got the same problem we have, because a lot of people in Thailand from a different country, you know, like Cambodia and all that, and they had the same problem we had here. You know, racism and all that. But if you made friends with one, he was your friend, you know. I mean, when they said, you're my friend, I meant it. As opposed to people that, we call it fronting. You know, if you got something that they can use, they got a face for you and a face for the people that they normally hang with, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, it's just some of the philosophies they have and some of the beliefs they have, like Buddha, which is what they call God. And the beliefs they have are entirely different. But you got to stop and realize that even though they grew up in their country, the beliefs are different. Their philosophy is different. But basically, it's all about the same thing, you know? You know, you love your mama, you love your daddy, you love your brothers and sisters, and you love your friends. And some of the things that, when you got together with them and they started talking to you, they would ask you, you know, about God, about Bible. And so there we go. But I learned a lot from them about philosophy, beliefs, what their concept of love is. And basically, when you drain it all the way down and get the dregs, it's all about the same thing. Their beliefs. And so, I went to Laredo, Texas, San Antonio, Texas. That's Lackland Air Force Base and Laredo Air Force Base. Went to South Dakota and North Dakota, which is Manhattan. Ellsworth is South Dakota, Manhattan. Then I learned about the weather.
That's where the real winters are, right?
Yeah, he's serious about this. And I met a lot of people, got to know a lot of different philosophies and beliefs. And what really amazed me was that basically, no matter where you are, the beliefs are similar. The basics for the beliefs are similar. And so when you stop and look at it like that, but you know, they had all the names for people. They wear bags, gooks. That was in Asia, gooks. And basically, people are the same everywhere you go.
And it sounds like people have derogatory or misinformed names for others everywhere you go
and
to.
A lot of that comes from what you were taught when you were growing up. What's going on? Because it happened to you, you know. Because I had some animosity in me about the way I was treated. And then you get actual exposure to situations. And you realize, well, they're going through the same problems I'm going through because they're going through what they were taught. And then you meet people that has overcome this and realize what had happened when my mama was growing up as a kid and my dad and what they were exposed to. But once you get older and get more exposure, the more you realize why things are like they are. So.
Ray, it sounds like even though you didn't go to university because you guys just couldn't afford it, you got an education that some people will never get.
Right.
And you got a degree in social and culturalism, you know, well, and people.
I call it direct exposure.
Yeah.
Rather than somebody reading out of a book, explaining something to you that happened and why it happened, like the War of 1812, Emancipation Proclamation, and all these things, but these things developed through people's experiences. And they found out that, hey, I understand why Mama and Daddy told me this, but I understand why the people we're supposed to be criticizing had got the exposure too. So they reacted, and it's a chain reaction.
Oh, yeah.
And then along the way, you learn. But you understand why you were taught what you were taught.
Do you feel like you're able to teach these lessons that you've learned across your whole life to your grandson or to other people?
I really have. A couple of brothers. See, my dad had a family besides ours, besides the family I grew up with, you know.
Is it one you knew about, or was you surprised by it?
No, he told me about
it. He told you about it, okay.
But, see, my dad killed two people.
Wow.
Did 15 years in McAllister. But the good thing, the positive thing that came out of this is because he told me what caused him to be like he was and how much problems he had with being himself, and told me how to avoid it. Or taught me what he should have done to avoid it. And when it comes to you like this, you have more ammunition. And I ain't talking about shoot tobacco, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you can avoid it better, and it works. It works.
So the lessons along the generations are helping people learn all about perspectives and all about the reasons why.
Yeah, but it's a mind thing. It's a mindset thing. But a lot of people I have met didn't grow up like I did. You know, we weren't, you know, money was nip and tuck, okay. And a lot of kids that I grew up with, you didn't have to worry about allowances. And it got the ego where it says, you're poor. If they did anything for you, it was because you can brag about it. And it's an ego booster, but it's boosting your ego the wrong way. So I've seen some people reach the point where they hated everything that did not in some way represent them. You know, and you could be walking down the street and go past one of their houses. And I got to admit, I was jealous of the housing because what we had to go, we was calling shotgun houses.
Tell us about a shotgun house. What was that like? The size?
Okay. If you were lucky enough to have kerosene, it's like a wood stove. But I got to give it to my grandma. She cooked on a wood stove. And the food tastes so much better to me. And we had hogs and chickens and smoke houses. And that's where they take the meat,
hang it up,
and put a nail in it and hang it up in the smoke house. But I don't know, I just saw some stuff that really made me mad. And we had this special dry long slow. It would pick on you. And you know all the racial slurs that were going around. So we came up with some of our own. So arguments would start because maybe you had an incident the week before, and you're mad about that, so the next chance you get, you go right back and take the same attitude to them, and then it's so forth and so on. And then you saw the changes in people too, with all the racial hatreds and stuff. And I remember one where this lady, it was 100 and some degrees outside. And this lady started to the store, I guess, Safeway or somewhere, and had a blowout on her tire. And she had the baby in the car with her. And so they had some kind of asphyxiation or something. And if a baby's laying in the car, and you know, if you got air conditioning on, you're gonna have your windows up. But then that certain exposure to all that heat, and this guy was walking. He's a black dude, he's walking, and saw what was happening. And so this lady was, I don't know, cell phone wasn't real popular then, so she's trying to get somebody to help her. And he walked up and he said, "The first thing you need to do, lady, is get this baby out of here because it's heat." And so he was working for some people on the same street where she had the blowout on. And he said, "Come on, lady, go with me and bring the baby." So he took it to the house and told the lady he was working for that she had a blowout and his baby's out in all this heat. And the lady said, "Well, come on in." Gave her some tea. And I said, "Now there's a difference. There is a difference." And in spite of all the other references to racism and all that, this guy was nice enough, and he's black and she's white, to take her up there with the baby. And the lady called, I'm trying to think of the name, it was a Firestone tire company, I think it was. Came down there and they got the deal off the car, took it down there, fixed it, brought it back and put it back out. And see, here's another attitude that's changing. Because there was a lot of white females that were afraid to be anywhere close. And with good reason too. They had good reason to do it. They'd been warned, you know, so. But it's a lot better now than it was back in 40s and 50s. But after I came back and retired, I got to thinking about all the things that I was exposed to. From the time from when I got out of grade school, high school, went there was and did 20 years. But it was a learning experience for me too, because I had a lot of resentment in me about the way we were treated, and I said, well, but then you could still see people on both sides that was realizing what was going on too. And then as a result of that, some of their friends would turn against them because they wouldn't accept totally racism. And everybody was not a racist.
No. Okay. Do you feel like the resentment that you had in you is gone? Or is there still a
It don't even bother me no more. I mean, you can still see it at the time, but you can see it in a person's face. Body language is what we call it. I ignore it. I say, you know, and I told this one guy, he started this Walmart. He was standing in the door, and I was trying to get in. You know, when they got the sliding glass door. I said, "Excuse me." He looked at me like I was crazy. He made one of them comments like, "I'm tired of seeing these blankety blanks around here." And I said, "Well, I don't particularly want to see you either, but if you get out of my way, we won't have this problem." You know what I'm saying? But it's a way to approach everything. And approaching hostility will never work, because you just, instead of using water to put out a fire, you're using gasoline. Okay. So I'm glad I got the experience. So.
Ray, you're a good teacher. And so I hope you're spreading the teaching around.
I got some friends that come around here. We sit around and talk.
So I have a question, and if you're not comfortable sharing this piece, that's okay with me. I just want to ask. It sounds like your family history is very unique and very interesting. You mentioned your father and the situation where he killed two men and then went into jail for 15 years and what he passed on to you. Do you feel comfortable telling the story about what that was all about?
Yeah.
What's the story of that?
Daddy told everybody.
Daddy told everybody. Well, if Daddy's not here, you can tell the story.
The first incident was that Daddy had did 5 years, and a lot of people from his side of the family lived in Oklahoma City and El Reno and all around. And so he came home from prison. We were living in Powell Valley, but he wanted to go up and visit. Mm-hmm. And Daddy drinks, you know. So he gets up there and goes, I think it was his nephew or something like that. And they drank a lot, you know, especially on weekends, like on Saturdays and stuff. And for some reason, this whoever it was up there, they got in an argument. But what it was really all about was about this dude had his lady with him. They weren't married, but you know, it was girlfriend or whatever you want to call it. And I guess he showed some interest in my dad. I guess it was, they call it harmless flirtation, okay? And so they got into it. And Daddy would always carry a gun, especially if he's going out of town, so he's gonna carry a gun with him. And that's how that all got started. And so this guy, not knowing who my daddy was or whatever, decided that he's gonna kick my daddy's butt. Big mistake. Daddy shot him. We're back to the minute. But because of the circumstances and the way it went down, I think he ended up getting 10 years out of it, which it could have been a lot worse. So, but my daddy taught me well. He taught me well.
Sounds like he did. And it sounds like you were a good, you learned well, you know.
I'm so glad I did. Yeah. Look, I've been in some situations too where I saw how easy it was to become not angry, especially if you're not causing a problem, mm-hmm. and shooting somebody else or hurting somebody. But he used to tell me in Paul's Valley, we had a place in Paul's Valley, it's Hickory Street, but they call it Tough Street. That's where all the joints were, what do we call them, joints. And,
what's a joint? Is it like a bar, or?
Yeah, it's bootleg.
Bootleg, okay.
Yeah, they used to make what they call chalk, that's homemade beer. And it's a way of making extra money, you know. And corn whiskey. So that's what will be happening on Friday, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday. You know? And so I got into a couple of problems up here. And Daddy say, from where Hickory Street was, about like one to two blocks down this way was where Daddy lived. Well, that was after him and my mother had broke up. But he tell me, he say, boy, you get up there on them streets and get yourself in a jam. You run up on home and stop. He said, if you come down here, you're justified in doing whatever you needed to do to get them out your face and off your property or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I learned that. And he said, it's better to say he ran away than to say there he lay.
Boy. It's better to say he ran away than to say there he lay.
Yeah.
I think I need that on a t-shirt.
And he said, something else he says, it's not proper, it's not correct English to say it like that, but it makes sense to me. So that's all I need to know.
You guys have questions for Ray?
I guess just one, as far as like taking what you've learned, what's maybe an example or something specific you would say to your children or your grandchildren as if you were talking to them right now, just about heed this or don't forget this?
Well, there's still a problem, not near as big as it used to be, about racism and your reactions to the name calling. And so, I remember I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they told me, all you gotta do is stop and think. No matter what color you are, what color your eyes is, or what your hair looks like, you got a heart, you got a kidney, and you can die of cancer just like I can. You can get hit by a car. And if your blood ain't red, you're Asian. You say, so why worry about it? But what you think of yourself is the most important thing. Because you can get an attitude where you get called all these things. You get the feeling, what's it expression? Less than what you really are because of what somebody else told you. It's like brainwashing, okay?
This concludes our Every Point podcast with Ray Newton of Lexington. We hope you appreciated hearing about his history, illustrations of how he and his family dealt with racism here in Oklahoma, and how he's passing lessons of understanding along to his grandson and others. I hope you will join us again for our next podcast and share this and the information about our project with your friends. For Every Point on the Map, I'm Kelly Roberts. Happy exploring!